Well, good morning, church family. Good morning to all those who are watching online this morning. I'm ready to open God's Word because I was so inspired by the songs led by our worship arts ministry. I was so deeply touched by the prayer that was shared by Bea. If you're watching on Facebook, right now is the time to hit that love button and hit it repeatedly. If you're watching on YouTube, please share a comment. I'm just ready to open God's Word, so I invite you to turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 19, and I'll start in verse 20. Proverbs 19, now I want to read verse 20 to you as we get going this morning. Verse 20 tells us, "Listen to advice and accept instruction, that you may gain wisdom in the future." Making decisions is hard, isn't it? You know, making decisions when things are going well, that's hard enough. Making decisions in a pandemic, I mean, talk about stress and anxiety. I imagine every single one of us here this morning, watching online, has had to make one major decision after another during this pandemic. And undoubtedly, we have many more big decisions ahead of us. You know, just think about all the decisions you've had to make in just the past 5 months alone. You know, the stress level for all of us has been way up here, and for some, it's probably just gone through the roof. The decisions that we've had to make, they're very difficult because most of those decisions, they impact other people. You know, and to add to the stress level is the fact that things can change, and they change so rapidly. They change week by week. You know, before the pandemic, when things changed weekly, that seemed like really fast, right? That seemed like such a short amount of time. But now in the last 5 months, things can change not week by week, but day by day, and sometimes hour by hour. Things are changing so rapidly. So, how can you and I make wise choices in the midst of this season and in any season? Well, that's a subject for this morning as we continue in our series through Proverbs. And the title for this morning's message is Sound Decision-Making During Difficult Times. Sound decision-making during difficult times. Decision-making is very difficult. And I imagine for most of us, if we think back to some of our major decisions, especially when it comes to purchases, I suspect that every one of us has experienced buyer's remorse at one time or another in our lives. I'm sure we've kicked ourselves. We've beaten ourselves because of a poor decision. Well, this is a good time during the message to remind us of our two goals for this series: deep character and straight thinking. These two goals are very important because they are so intertwined with decision making. Deep character and straight thinking. You see, the choices that you and I make in life, both big and small, are often a good indicator of our spiritual maturity. If we were to make a list, if we were to put two columns on a piece of paper, and if we were to label one column wise decisions, and the other column, well, let's call it rash decisions, hopefully, as time passes, the column labeled wise decisions, hopefully that'll be much, much longer than the other column. As I think about rash decisions, as I think about poor decisions, I've come to the realization that most people don't deliberately set out to make bad choices. At least I hope we don't. But you see, it's not enough just to not want to make bad choices. We need to be well prepared in order to make wise choices. And we need to stand and it's on a solid foundation in order for us to make God-honoring choices. You know, as we look around us, people make decisions every single day, multiple times a day, and people use all kinds of methods to help them in those decision-making endeavors. Some people, they consult Ouija boards. Some people, they go to psychic reading rooms. Some people, they study their horoscope in detail. And while we may chuckle at practices like these, the reality is, there are so many people willing to do whatever it takes to help them make choices. You know, there's a reason why this past week, when I did a Yelp search for psychic reading rooms in our area, not because I want one, but just to see, there was a reason why when I did that Yelp search for psychic reading rooms, the search result came back with 24 pages. Not 24 businesses, 24 pages of multiple businesses just in our area alone for psychic reading rooms. People are willing to pay and pay a lot of money to help them make choices in life. We see this regularly in businesses and corporations where consultants are brought in and they're paid the big bucks to give these organizations direction. Did you know that as far back as recorded history, people have tried to get divine guidance for their decisions in life? You know, in the ancient world, people would often study livers to gain wisdom. And so here's how that practice unfolded. During a divination ritual, a priest might take a freshly sacrificed animal and then cut open the side and then pull out the liver. And the priest would put that organ on a table while it was still warm and moving. And the priest would study the movement of that organ to somehow discover the mind of the gods. Now, you and I, we might be disgusted by that type of practice, but did you know that that type of practice still survives in our language today? The legacy of that type of practice can still be heard today. The next time you hear somebody say, "I made a gut decision," or "I had a gut instinct," you'll know where that originated from, because in the ancient world, the center of thought was not considered to be up here in the head, but down here in the gut. All this to say, people go to great lengths to try to find any type of edge in helping them make wise decisions. And now that we are 5 months into the pandemic, think about that. 5 months into this pandemic here in our area. Have you noticed there have been some patterns along the way? At the beginning of the pandemic, this was back in March, at least for us in this part of the world. At the beginning of the pandemic, I think most people here had this mindset, and they thought this, okay, we're going to hit the pause button for just a little while, and then we'll get back to normal. But that little while has turned into anything but a little while. So along the way, the mindset had to change. So it went from, let's pause for a brief moment, to then, okay, we're just going to make a few minor changes temporarily until we can go back to normal. And then we'll pick up where we left off. But again, that little while and those temporary changes, They've been lasting much longer than anybody anticipated. And so then, along the way, the mindset had to change again. It changed from, okay, let's pause, to let's change temporarily, to now what we're seeing is, we're seeing this mindset of moving from a maintenance mode into a proactive approach to finding different ways of doing things. You know, there are things that we do as individuals, as groups, as corporations, as businesses, as schools, as churches. There are things that we're doing right now that we will take with us into the future. Sure, some things may look similar to how they looked pre-pandemic, but a lot of practices, as you've already found out, at your places of work, with school, in your neighborhoods, a lot of those practices we will see move forward with us in the days and the years to come. And so how people work, where people work, how people go to school, how people shop, how people eat out, how people handle events like birthday parties and other milestones, these will all require big decisions on our parts. And so as we consider all the complexities of life and all the decisions that we are faced with, it's no wonder that we're all exhausted. For those watching at home, for the few who are here as part of the crew making this live stream available to you, if you're exhausted, don't be afraid to just raise your hand and say, I'm tired. I'm tired. This season has worn me out. You know, for you parents out there, at the beginning of the pandemic, my guess is most of you are thinking, okay, just get me to summer. I just want to get to summer. Please, summer, hurry up and come. But then when summer came and went, you had many more decisions about school in the fall. And so in the weeks leading up to the fall semester, you received one email after another from your principal, from the school district, and you had to make major decisions. Do I send my kid back in person? Do I keep my kid virtual? And then for many of you, when those decisions were made for you, then you had to decide, okay, how do I turn my house into a school? How do I make our kitchen dining table into my kid's desk? So you've been faced with one major decision after another. And for you parents with children in college, there's an added complexity. And that involves a lot of money in the form of tuition, housing, rent, food. We've had major decisions about our kids' colleges. And for those students who graduated from high school, you had to make some major decisions, wondering, do I actually enroll in the school that I chose? These are big decisions. For many of you watching right now, you've had to decide about work. And for some, those decisions were made for you. Maybe you were laid off. Maybe you were furloughed. And for some of you, you've had to think, okay, do I make a career change now? Those are big decisions, stressful decisions. For those of you who are single and who seek to find a godly companion, and I know there are many of you who are single, and you want to find someone who you can share life with, a godly person that you can walk alongside. And this pandemic has posed so many challenges in that area. We've all faced one decision after another, and they're all difficult. Even a trip to the grocery store requires much thought today. And so, church, if ever we needed God's wisdom in decision making. It is now. Thankfully, God is ready to help. He's ready to guide us. As followers of Jesus Christ, thankfully, we don't have to rely on our gut instinct. We don't have to study our liver in order to find the will of God. Sure, sometimes our gut might get it right, but oftentimes our gut can play tricks on us. That's why Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 tells us, trust in the Lord with all your gut and your heart. And do not lean on your own gut or your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. You know, the reason why it is so important for us to make sound decisions is because in many cases, those decisions will have long-reaching consequences. Again, we've been talking so much in this series about straight thinking. When we go with God, He will make our paths straight. And that's not to say that God can't work through our mistakes. He can work through any circumstance, but God wants to spare us from the pain of bad decisions. That's why we have the book of Proverbs. For those watching right now who are facing difficulty in marriage, God doesn't want you to compound that situation by making choices that go against His will. For parents, as we saw earlier in our series, God gives us the guidance we need to raise our children in a way that honors Him. Now, from household to household, the details might look different. There are many factors that are involved in how we raise our children. But the Word of God always points us in the right direction. And that's why sound biblical decision-making for the follower of Jesus Christ must begin with the compass that is God's Word. Right here, our compass for life. You know, oftentimes we're so preoccupied with looking for signs to help us in making decisions that we miss what is right in front of us in the form of God's Word. You know, one author shares an account in a book of his about a young believer who had shared with him about a decision she had to make to visit some relatives here in California. She was residing elsewhere in another state, and she had a big decision to make, whether to fly out to California and visit relatives. It was a major decision. And so one morning she found herself in her room praying, asking God for wisdom and for a sign. And just as she was praying, she opened her eyes and she glanced up at her digital clock. And the numbers read 7:47. And she remembered, wait a minute, isn't that an airplane? And yes, Boeing makes an airplane, a classic airplane, a 747. And she took that as a sign. This must be God speaking to me to get on that plane. Now, as I thought about that, I read that account, I was thinking, man, it would have been really impressive had the clock read 767 or 787, two other Boeing airplanes. I'm sure we've all been there. We've looked around for signs. And yes, God can, and He often works through our circumstances, but those specific situations must always align with the compass of His Word. And that's why it's important that we develop sound spiritual skills that are necessary for us to make wise biblical choices so that We aren't held captive by every circumstance that comes our way. Let's think about what a compass does. A compass does a couple things for us. For one, it gives us the standard. It's the reference point. It gives us the standard, and then it points us in the right direction. So let's say one day you're lost in the woods, but thankfully you have your phone. So you fire up that app, the compass app on your phone. And the first thing you'll notice is the compass will point north. It'll tell you where north is. And if you remember, wait a minute, in order to get out of the woods, I have to go south. Then you'll know to walk the other way. So a compass gives us the reference point, the standard. And then from there, it points us in the right direction. The compass isn't relative. It doesn't change from situation to situation. It doesn't change from location to location. It gives us the reference. North is north. And then it points us in the right direction. It doesn't change with the direction in which we're walking or in the manner in which we're living. The standard of God's word points us in the right direction. And that's why it's important to know that the word of God, our compass, we don't want to necessarily view it as a turn-by-turn GPS system. And let me explain what I mean by that. The Bible is not going to necessarily tell us the name of the person you are going to marry. I don't think it does. The Bible's not going to tell us the name of the person you're going to marry. It doesn't tell us whether to put your kids in private school or public school or homeschool. It's not going to tell you that. It's not going to tell you what career you ought to go into. But in every single one of those cases and in every area of life, what it does is it gives us the reference and it points us in the right direction like a good compass does. Before we can even set out to make wise decisions on practical daily issues, both big and small, we need to be willing to follow the compass of God's word. Pastor and author, Dr. David Jeremiah, says this: if we aren't willing to do the will of God that we know, why should we ever think we should get the will of God that we don't know? Can I say that again? If we aren't willing to do the will of God that we know, why should we ever think we should get the will of God that we don't know? I know that we have one major decision after another. And during this pandemic, every decision seems big. A lot of pressures and responsibilities have put on many of your shoulders, especially for those of you who are making decisions for other people. For school administrators, for business owners, for teachers, for parents, for community leaders, for government officials, for pastors, for all those who are making decisions for other people, I understand the pressures and the responsibilities placed upon your shoulders, they are huge and they are heavy. And I think the quote that I just read really helps to keep things in proper perspective. There are so many major decisions in every area of life during this pandemic. But are we ready and willing to do the will of God that's clearly laid out for us already in His Word? You see, as followers of Jesus Christ, if you and I are not willing to do the will of God that's clearly laid out for us already in His Word, then trying to find the solution to all the challenges that we're facing during the pandemic, they are really a moot point. And please understand, I don't say that lightly. Many of you are faced with very big, important decisions. But if we don't commit ourselves to following what is clearly laid out already in God's word, then any decision we make in the pandemic is really a moot point. I want to remind us of a verse that we read a few weeks ago in Proverbs 27, verse 1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Before we make any plans or any decisions, we must remember that only God is sovereign. We just don't know. And we must remember that everything is subject to His approval. So, with that in mind, I want to now share some very practical guidelines, 5 guiding principles for sound decision making that you and I can make in this season and in any season. And the first is to seek counsel. Seek counsel. And when I say seek counsel, we begin first and foremost with God's counsel, because the best counsel comes from God Himself. And so that ought to be our starting point. But isn't it true that more often than not, our decision-making process is kind of the other way around, right? We spend hours upon hours, day after day, week after week, researching and studying all the angles in hopes of coming to a good decision. And then in the final moments, we just kind of go through the formalities. After weeks of research, we kind of go to God. God, I hope this is the right decision. I think it is. Please bless it. We have it backwards. The next time we have a big decision to make, and for some of you, that might be tomorrow. For some, that might be later today. How about this? The next time we have a big decision to make, before we even discuss the options, maybe God wants us to pause and just seek Him. And sometimes that might even be in the quietness of that space, without any preconceived idea of what you want to do. And with major decisions, sometimes and oftentimes, getting away, spending concentrated time fasting, that can be beneficial. So seek God's counsel first and foremost, and then you can seek other counsel. In Proverbs 15, verse 22, it says, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. And it goes without saying that for spiritual decisions, decisions that have spiritual implications, we need to seek out people who are spiritually mature, those who are grounded in Scripture, who know how to apply the Bible to life. There are so many voices in our culture that give us counsel that is not God's counsel. That's why it's important to use the Word of God as our standard. Ask those who have gone through similar experiences. Now, I understand that in the pandemic, none of us has ever gone through a pandemic before. But here's what I've learned in the past 5 months. And I think this is probably one of the best lessons I've learned. Those who have made wise decisions during the pandemic have a history of making wise decisions. Think about that. Those who have made wise decisions in this most difficult season, They have a history of making wise decisions. They've been able to navigate through previous rough seas. Though they may not necessarily know exactly what tomorrow holds for us, we can look back and take comfort in knowing that they have navigated rough seas before. So seek the counsel of those who are wise and who are spiritually inclined. We are wise to listen to what they have to say. So seek counsel, first and foremost, God's counsel, through His Word, through prayer, through fasting, through meditation. Seek the counsel of others, those who are wise. And then there's a second guiding principle, and that's this. Consider the circumstances wisely. It's important to consider the circumstances wisely. But remember, we don't want to be held captive by each and every situation. Circumstances alone, they don't dictate the decisions that we make. It's so easy to interpret our circumstances one way, one day, and then change your mind the next day. In fact, this is illustrated in an account in the book of Acts. Just allow me to describe that situation for you. You can find this in the book of Acts, chapter 28. Paul and his team had just arrived on the island of Malta. When they arrived, the people there on the island, they welcomed Paul and his team warmly, and it was a very cold, cold day. And so the people on the island, they built a fire for Paul and his team to keep them warm. And then Paul, wanting to help out, well, he gathered some sticks to add to the fire. And just as he was about to throw those sticks into the fire, a viper jumped out of those sticks and bit Paul right on his hand. And it stayed fastened to his hand. And the people on the island, they were shocked when they saw this. And they kind of jumped back. And they looked at Paul. And they looked at this viper hanging from his hand. And the people of the island, they became afraid. They thought, he must have done something terrible. And he's being punished. And he's going to die. But just then, Paul shook off the viper. And it landed in the fire. And the people waited to see his hand swell up. And when his hand didn't swell up, when Paul didn't die, the people immediately changed their conclusion. They looked at Paul, and afraid again, they said, he must be a god. So these people looked at the immediate circumstance, and they based their conclusion and their decision solely on that circumstance. Consider the circumstances wisely, but don't allow them to dictate our decisions. Yes, God is good when we get a promotion at work. But did you know that God is equally good when a person is furloughed? God is good when we are feeling strong and healthy. But did you know that God is no less good when you or a loved one receive a terrible diagnosis? Just ask Job. So we are to consider the circumstances wisely and don't let them dictate or cloud our judgment. Here's a third guiding principle. Avoid making emotionally driven decisions. The past 5 months have been an emotionally exhausting period for every one of us. And emotions have a way of distorting judgment. You know, people going through grief, they're very vulnerable. In fact, studies have shown that people in the grieving process will often pay overly high prices for items because they're being driven by emotions. People coming off a broken relationship or a difficult relationship are vulnerable. They're prone to rebound relationships. Remember, one of our goals for this series is straight thinking. And when we are emotional, it is so very difficult to think straight, no matter how much we try. So it's best to avoid making major decisions when we are emotional. Sometimes, oftentimes, every time when you're emotional, it's best to sleep on it and keep sleeping on it until you're out of that emotional state. Here's our fourth guiding principle. Recognize the power of peer pressure. Whether we know it or not, we are influenced by those around us whenever we have decisions to make. We rarely, if ever, make decisions in a vacuum, just by ourselves. Our loved ones, our friends, our networks, they often shape how we make decisions. You know, at the beginning of the pandemic, when we didn't have nearly the information that we have right now, people kept looking at each other. They just kept looking at each other and waiting. I'm going to do what that person does. I'm going to do what that person does. And even now, with much more information, right now, 5 months later, people are still looking at one another. And when I say at one another, people are looking at those, especially within their own networks. And they're taking their cues from people in their networks. Peer pressure is so strong. I know we've all faced it. We've all faced it in the last 5 months. Have you ever walked into an establishment, a grocery store, a retail store, and you feel the pressure based upon where you are to conform? Peer pressure is strong. One expert says this about peer pressure. The idea is, if people just had information, then they will make the rational choice, and that's just wrong. You would think that. You would think if we just had the right information and enough information that we would just make the rational choice. And I confess to you, I think about that probably every day. I think to myself, wow, the information is there. Why can't we make the right choice? But experts tell us, even with an abundance of information, we are often much more influenced by those in our networks. Peer pressure is so very strong. That is why we must be grounded in the Word of God. We must be grounded in the compass that is God's Word. Here's a fifth and final guiding principle. Don't let uncertainty paralyze you. Don't let uncertainty paralyze you. In fact, I'll go as far as to say, embrace uncertainty. And I know that's hard for most of us to do. especially for those who like to plan things out and have things go according to plan. But remember, we don't know what a day may bring. You know, for those who've had to do some sort of planning during the pandemic, which is most of us, I know you've experienced your share of stress and anxiety. Oftentimes, planning can be more stressful than actually executing the plan. Wouldn't you agree? Sometimes all the hours and days and weeks and months of planning is so much more anxiety producing than actually going through and executing the plan. Yes, careful planning and analyzing and weighing the options, they are absolutely important. But at some point, we must just go through it. We can't let uncertainty paralyze us. Earlier in our series, we talked about confirmation bias. And that's a tendency to embrace the information that supports our viewpoints. You know, confirmation bias is just really a way of minimizing uncertainty. But uncertainty is not our enemy. Let's break out of our confirmation bias echo chambers. It's okay to embrace uncertainty. In fact, probably one of the worst things that we can do during a pandemic or in any season is to rely on false certainty. Because false certainty will lead to bad decisions. Life is filled with uncertainty. That's what Proverbs tells us. But one thing is certain, God's love for you and for me. As Bea prayed earlier, it's time for us to fix our eyes on Jesus. He is certain in a world of uncertainty. God sent his son Jesus, his only son, to die for you and for me, so that whosoever should believe in him will experience the certainty of eternal life. We are not guaranteed tomorrow. So if you're watching right now, and if you've not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to do so today. It is the best decision you could ever make. I invite you to pray this prayer of salvation along with me. God, I want to experience eternal life today. I recognize I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And I believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for my sins. I believe you are a God who is rich in mercy, and I give my life to you today. Thank you for saving me. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, or if you are in need of prayer, would you take a moment and just send me an email? If you pray that prayer of salvation, I want to celebrate with you. If you need prayer, I want to pray with you. Thank you for tuning in today. Thank you for worshiping with us. May we all make sound biblical decisions this coming week. God bless you.